Hey everybody, it's your Dungeon Master, Bobby Shortle, back here for one last interlude before we're back on the main adventure. This time, we've got the secret origins of Julian Wingate. I hope you all really enjoy it. Please don't forget to check out BattleBards.com and TabletopAudio.com, both of which are used by our awesome Justin Riley, who does all the sound effects and sound design on our podcast. Follow us at D&D Adventure on Twitter. And email us, adventure@talkingcomicbooks.com, if you want to get your name used in one of the adventures, or you have an item idea for one of us. You'll hear some pretty cool items that one listener sent in next time. But that's in the future. Let's get back to the here and now. Let's get back to Julian and his origins. Right now you're level 5. You should be level 5 right now.
Oh, okay.
And you're going to level up twice today. You are going to get another another third level spell slot and one fourth level spell slot.
I don't think I even got any fours yet. So.
No, this is your first four. This is your first spell slot. So, okay, so your arcane tradition, which is abjuration, you, at sixth level, when a creature that you can see within 30 feet of you takes damage, you can use your reaction to cause your arcane ward to absorb that damage. If this damage reduces the ward to 0 hit points, the warded creature takes any remaining damage.
Sort of reflective.
Yeah, yep.
I like that. I could have used that, considering how many times I've been laying in a heap on the ground.
Yes, absolutely, and you can also use it to protect other people as well, or either Jackie or Brian, or even like a non-player character like Stewie or something.
Huh? I tried that with my force field the last time. It was almost successful.
Well, you protected yourself at least for a turn.
Yeah,
in that case, so that's what you get. For going up 5th and 6th level. The other thing you want to do is where it says hit dice on your sheet, Bob, which should be middle section. It's below current hit points and temporary hit points.
Okay, yeah. Right now it says 4d6.
Right, so you're going to roll a d6 twice. Yes. Okay. I forgot, that's the one thing you have to do with dice today is this part.
I found that one. Okay, twice.
Yeah, twice.
Two. And four.
So it was a two and a four?
Yep.
So six total. So you add six to your total hit points.
Oh, okay. So I'm at 14.
Is that your
max hit points? Is 14.
Right. Do you have your hit point maximum written down somewhere though? Again, or did you?
26.
Okay. So add six to 26.
Oh, okay. So we're at maximum at 32.
Yeah, you have a max 32 now. And by the way, you can erase your 14 current hit points because you're gonna, by the time we begin our adventures again, you're gonna have rested a long time.
Okay.
So you're fine. So you got everything, all your spell slots back, all your hit points are set back to maximum.
Right.
But yeah, there you go. So you leveled up. So, you know, obviously add your spells whenever you want to. You don't have to do that on mic or anything.
I like trying to make them work with other things. And I'm also trying to think, since we're talking now, there's an end game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we each have our own backstories. I have no idea what theirs are.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
I know.
I'm stuck here in that cell phone and all these glimmery things going on. It's like, okay, one of these days, I'm going to say goodbye to these chaps and, you know, move on.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about some things that haven't come out yet.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of oddball little spells that are for those sort of things.
Okay.
I'm thinking. But I still can't trust Henley, you know? You gotta watch.
Well, you can never trust Henley.
That's right.
You can never really trust Henley. So
yeah.
So let me set the scene for you, Bob, yeah, on what we are doing today and where you are. So since the events of Neverwinter, when you...
Exploding dragon,
yes. When Henley warped you guys out of there... and back to Phandalin, you returned, and once you returned, you handed over the item directly to Gizmodo at his request. And he's been keeping it under lock and key, and it's been, and he's obviously been looking for the last and final item for you three to go and get, but it's been a while now. It's been about 4 weeks now since the events of Neverwinter. And in that time, you've had the time to get to know Phandalin a little bit. You've been given a little house to live in, and you know, you basically have whatever daily routine you would want to have at this point, because you're living a little life now in Phandalin. You know, obviously always waiting for the next thing to happen, but for the last 4 weeks you've been living there, and you know, you have seen your adventurer counterparts in town, obviously. You've had a couple of nights of drinks with Thrace, not really so much with Henley. But other than that, what do you think Julian would be doing for this month where he's free of adventure and can do what he wants?
I think Julian's certainly going to try to take some time to rest and be by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Having had so many adventures beyond the pale for a rather studious, bookish kind of chap.
Right.
It's an academic after all, and running around with gnomes and goblins and dragonborns and Henleys gets to be a little much on the old constitution. he is also thinking it's a chess match for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of an end game, so there's some studying to be done. Things have not gone exactly as intended, and that is also part of Julian's character. There's an arrogance that comes with his intelligence, where it's, I'll just blow some stuff up. I'll just fry someone, and it'll be fine. I'll move on, and I'll be okay. And that hasn't worked all as well as he would like. So he may be studying up some of his old incantations or some of the things he knew from the old books in the old days, trying to come up with a better plan moving forward.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, that sounds like you know your character, Bob. That sounds very,
thank you very much,
very Julian to me. So it's the last night of the fourth week right now, and
yeah,
you're alone in your little house, and through your window you can see actually Thrace heading out of town, just as you see Stewie entering town. And then a few minutes later, you hear the familiar warping, cracking sound of the phone. And as far as you can see, in the next hour or so, Stewie never leaves the town by foot. So you can guess for yourself what mm-hmm. Stewie is up to. But just as you're probably about to go to bed, you get a knock on your door. So yeah, there's a knock on your door. So how does Julian react to that?
It is late in the evening. He's a little perturbed because he's that kind of guy. who's knocking on my door at this time of night? So sort of grumbling and groaning, goes to the door, and you know, who is it? Doesn't open. No,
okay.
Doesn't
open it yet. Okay.
Doesn't open it. Who is it?
Mr. Julian, it's Lucas Turner.
Oh, okay, Lucas. Let me just get some of the sleep out of my eyes. Here, come on in. Come on in, Lucas. What can we do for you tonight?
Yes, I'm sorry to disturb you. I know it's late, and I normally wouldn't do this, but Mr. Gizmodo would really like to see you right away.
Okay. Is he coming here or I'm coming to him?
No, he'd like you to come up, if you could.
Sure. Let me just throw on a pair of shoes and a jacket and we're off. Alrighty, Lucas. Where are we headed? You're in the lead here.
He told me to send you alone. But it's just right up at his normal area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Don't let anybody in here. You're in charge.
You got it, sir.
Okay.
So you make your way up to Gizmodo's establishment, and as you approach the big, heavy doors, they open for you as you get to them. And when you walk into the main hall, which probably a few hours ago was filled with people eating and making merry, it's empty now with the smell of, you know, just cooked dinner basically left behind. And you can see under the door, which you know to be Gizmodo's chamber, candlelight coming from underneath it.
Wander up to the door slowly. You have to in this part of town. Give it a knock. Gizmodo.
You hear a very soft come in.
Sure.
You open the door. Yeah. and you enter the room, and you hear the same voice say, "Please close the door behind you." So you turn around and close the door behind you. As soon as the door clicks shut, you can feel the atmosphere around you change drastically. You no longer smell the smell of just cooked meat. You no longer feel the sort of airiness of this big chamber. Instead, you feel like you get the smell of old beer, and you feel it, some must and muskiness around you, and the light has changed from candlelight to what you can identify as electric light. Very dim, but electric light. And you can hear sounds around you that you haven't heard in a very long time. You hear right outside whatever room you're standing in, bustling and moving, and the sound of wheels hitting pavement and horns honking. And when you turn back around, you see that you're in what looks like the back room of a restaurant. There's a small bar in it. There are some small 2- and 4-person tables, all lit by very dim lamps. And as you're just becoming acclimated to where you are, you hear a voice from the back of the room, and it says, "Hello, Julian. Thank you so much for joining me."
Oh, thank you for inviting me. I'm a little surprised, I must say, to see the accoutrements in this room.
Well, I'm sure you can tell you're not in Mr. Gizmodo's chambers.
Oh, how's this happening?
Well, I have powers. Why don't you come back here? You can't really see his face right now, but you can see you can see the figure sitting in a table in the back corner with some very soft light just grazing about half of his face.
Yes, we are alone, aren't we?
Yes, there's no one there other than you two.
That's helpful. I march to the back. It seems fairly safe.
Yes. So, sorry, Bob. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No. You're good to go.
No, I was gonna say. So you're walking back to where he's sitting.
I'm getting there. How shall I refer to you today?
Well, you should call me by my name. You know my name.
It's been a few things. What is it today?
Well, today you can call me by the name you knew me as when I was a young boy. Please, call me Henrique.
Yes, got
it. And you see, when you're closer now, the blonde, long hair of the man you know now is Henrique, the man you once thought was Sildar Hallwinter, and was the young boy who you showed for the first time the horrors of what this world could be. And he says, please, sit down.
Yes. It seems we have much to discuss, Henry.
We do.
As you can see, I've brought you to a place that I thought you would feel most comfortable in.
Yes, I have memories of such a place. Fond memories.
Now, this is not quite... I didn't quite bring you back to your exact time, let's say. We are many years in what would be your future, Mr. Wingate. Because I couldn't have you trying to run off now.
This is that's a good plan on your part, because that probably would have happened. So, kudos to you.
Thank you. So, now, I have traveled now to many worlds, a few worlds, looking for you, Julian, looking for a way to say hello again, and waiting for you to make an appearance. I believe you call this world that you are from Earth, is that correct?
Yes, it is, the third world from our sun.
Hmm. And what do you do in this life, Mr. Wingate?
I was a professor.
Oh.
At a major university who finds himself traveling in odd circles of late.
Hmm. Yes, I would think that in this world you would not be accustomed to seeing the type of folk who you've been traveling with lately.
No, although Arkham, Massachusetts is a very strange place with some odd characters, nothing quite like this one.
This is a wonderful. I'm so glad we finally get to talk. I have to ask you, how did you end up in my world?
I am involved in the study of some very arcane and eldritch rites and books. Perhaps in your travels you've heard of the Necronomicon of the mad Arab Abdul al-Hazred.
There is a Necronomicon in every world, my friend.
I would have thought so, because I think that is what drew me here. Its powers are many, and generally, I'd say evil, except those who created it or caused it to be written are above good and evil. They just are. And I have a relative who many, many years, even before my time, found himself mind-swapped with a being from another world, too. And I think some of that may have passed to me. I was just sitting reading when all of a sudden, one afternoon, I found myself in what seemed the prehistoric jungle of my own world. Flipped backwards almost instantly, and then it began happening here and there. I also found I could control it to a certain extent. And then one odd day, where I had opened up some other volumes and scraps of things like the Nicotic manuscripts, I found myself in a world of gnomes and goblins, and I've never seen this before. And my bearings are somewhat lost. So that's why when I say it's a place such as this, this does help. I find myself centered in a way I haven't been in many, many months.
That is an amazing story, my friend. I thought it was something like that. And so I'm going to assume that you were not so surprised when you saw what you saw those... many years ago for me, I'm guessing mere weeks for you, when we first met.
Yes, you're speaking of the library?
I'm speaking of the devices. I'm speaking of the time where you found me looking for my father in that little seaside town, and we encountered that great beast. That monster.
Yes, he's a familiar old friend, in a way. We've crossed paths before, though he wasn't in quite the same form. He was somewhat larger, amazingly enough.
Mm. Oh, Julian, I want to show you something very, very interesting and cool right now. Please try to use one of your spells on me. I believe you like some of the fire spells, I believe, or something that you like.
Yes, they're always fun. So how about the Ray of Fire?
Okay. So Julian,
I'm sorry. That's the Ray of Frost. That was terrible. I can't even. I'm not in my usual light here. Burning Hands is the one I
mean. So Julian, you reach into that well of magic that you've been using for these past few months, and you find it not there.
Oh,
it is gone at this moment. You see, there's you cannot do magic right now. What I learned in these years since we first ran into each other is there is something about you, people from your world and things from your world ending up in our world, and they gain great magical power. Things that are ordinary and plain and simple, like you, Julian, become great beings of great power when they end up in our world.
But we are cut off here in this little space. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yes, because in fact, Julian, right now we are on Earth. We are in your world.
How far into my future are we here?
Oh, I would say we're probably 80 of your years.
That's a bit much even for me to reconcile.
I assure you, it is quite different. I've been to many of the eras of your world.
I think I've seen evidence of your visits in the past in some of my own works.
I would bet you have, Julian.
Were you involved in the plague? I have the feeling.
No. I have no vendetta against your world, sir.
Okay, that's helpful.
And in fact, I have no vendetta against my world. So what I've brought you here really was to talk about this game that we've been playing.
Game?
This back and forth, this I try to get one of the items, you try to get the item. You know, what's my plan, what's your plan? I tire of it, and in fact, I'm going to let you in a little secret. I've been playing both sides of this game for the entire thing. Because, trust me, I've learned that you need to have a backup plan. So, whatever happened, whether my people kept the item or your people found the item, it was exactly what I wanted to happen. Because no matter what, I'm going to have those items, and you're going to give them to me.
I can say with some clarity that I admire that. That is quite clever.
Thank you, Julian.
Now, that being said, is there some arrangement we can come to where I can perhaps help you if you can help me to get back where I need to be?
Well, in fact, that's exactly what I wanted to propose to you. I thought it would be a little bit harder to convince you, but...
Great minds think alike.
So, Julian, this is the deal I have for you. You go and find that last item for me, and then you bring all three to me, and I will send you home.
Okay. The surety I have that this will take place is?
You bring the items to where I tell you to bring them when I tell you to bring them, and I will open the portal for you, and you can walk on through.
To my proper time, to my proper place.
Yes, no tricks. No tricks. I'm sending you home. To your place, to your time. Exactly how you left it.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Alive.
Not in a body bag.
Not in a body bag. Julian, I have no reason to try and kill you. I...
Probably could have long before now.
I don't like to brag, but, you know, yes.
Yes.
I'm glad you understand that as well, but... I have no reason to kill you, Julian. In fact, the main thing I want of you is out of this world of magic, because even if I did kill you here, That gives me no assurances that you will remain dead or out of my hair. So I would like to send you back to where you came from. And I will if you bring me all those items to the place where I tell you to bring them. But there is one thing you need to know. I don't want to trick you in any way. When you bring me those items, I will have the ability to stop that creature that threatened us so long ago from coming back and destroying my world. But in defeating it, I will then take power of this world, and I will kill many people, many creatures, many of whom, and almost all of whom you've come to know since you've been here, will be dead. Thrace and Henley will not survive. I will use them as sacrifice to grant me the power that I need. But you will be left alive. You will be allowed to return to where you came from. And that is my promise to you.
I'm not sure I'm on board with that. Is there some way around that, that we can help save your world and you spare these people here?
Everyone in your world will be perfectly safe. Everyone on Earth will be completely safe. But people in my world will die. I don't want to try and mislead you. That is going to happen. And your two friends have had extensive exposure to these magical items, and so their blood holds a lot of power now. And I will have to kill them.
I cannot do that then. We will have to come to some other agreement.
That is the deal, Julian. I'm not saying you need to decide now. You still have to find that last item.
All righty. How about we table this discussion, because some things could change. Many things might change for both of us in the intervening time.
I will send a message to you when it is time, when you have to make your final decision.
Be wary. As I spend more time in this world, as you've noticed, my powers are increasing.
I have noticed that, Julian, yes. But...
and we may be on more equal footing.
You don't know what equal footing is, my friend. You have not seen what I can do.
I don't doubt that, but you have yet to see some of the things I have seen, I'll bet.
Well, we could debate measure our dicks all day, Julian,
yes.
But... but I'm going to give you a little help anyway.
That's sporting of you. I like that. We can part as almost friendly adversaries.
The last item, the location, is in the castle in the town of Blackthorn. And it is being held by someone you already know, Mr. Hugh Sanguin. And I'll tell you what, Julian, as well. He still has the page of that book that he took from you long ago. And I think that after you read that page, sir, you will rethink my offer.
I find that a very nice offer. Considering how we were ending, I'm impressed with your valor, which pains me to say, but yes.
I was once a very honorable man, Julian. But a man of great faith, but that faith was broken long ago. But I shall take back the control I felt then now, and I will defeat that monster and save my world. And you will help me do it.
This is very much a possibility. But maybe not in the way you think.
Everything always happens exactly the way I think, Julian. You'll come to learn that very soon. just one more thing. And he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out a ring with a red gem and he places it on the table in front of you. And he says, you're going to want to take that. I don't think you'll be able to grab that last item without it. I promise you, this will hold no power over you. It's not cursed. There's no whatever, blah, 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 blah. Everything will be fine. But you will not survive the coming challenge unless you have that ring.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. All right, I think that ends our conversation, Julian. It's time for both of us to go back and finish this little game that we've started.
I have one boon to ask before I leave.
Yes.
Can I get a cold beer from this bar? Because back where I am, it is just awful, this warm ale they're serving. I just can't.
I do apologize. This bar is it's closed.
Oh, come on.
Lots of health code violations. There's no more beer in the tap. It was good for our purposes, though, because we would not be bothered. So
yes, this is true.
So yes, Julian, I shall see you again, I think, quite soon. And what would I be if I didn't politely say, toodles, and thanks for all the help. He snaps his finger, and the scene around you dissipates completely, and then reforms, and you are opening the door to Gizmodo's chamber just as you were before. And this time when you walk in, there's Gizmodo sitting at his table writing down notes, and he looks startled when you walk in, and he says, Julian, what are you doing here?
I thought I was coming to see you, actually, but I've seemed to have wandered a bit.
What happened, Julian?
As so often seems to happen around these parts, you walk out the door and you meet yourself, in a way.
You're being very cryptic.
yes, because I am not entirely sure what the future holds for any of us right now. I'm shaken.
Well, I'm quite shaken myself, Julian. For the life of me, we cannot figure out where this last item is.
I think I've had a vision. Have you heard of a vision? I spent some time alone here, as we spent this last month. I've been doing some arcane studying. And I have a feeling. That, have you heard of the Castle Blackthorn?
Well, yes, of course, but it's been abandoned for years.
I don't think the passage of time matters as much as it once did. There are forces at work that bend those to their own will.
Well, Julian, if you tell me that the item is in Blackthorn Castle, I will trust you. And he calls out, Lucas, can you please go get Thrace and Henley? We found the last magical item. You guys are left in the room together. And Gizmodo turns to you and he says, I guess it's time to finish this.